Now, when we last talked about a year or so ago, you were planning to try to get some kind of scientific testing, as you've talked about.
Right.
Did you go somewhere? What I've heard that you've been all over the world.
Well, not all over the world, but I did go to England, and I spent a year in England because we got a funding source there who was willing to have me over, allow me to live in her house, and put up the money to do the testing that we needed done. So we've had some remarkable successes. Now, what led to that was the DNA research, and the same lady put up the money for that as well. So we were really, really gifted in the fact that we finally found somebody who was willing to put down serious money to get done the serious work that we needed done.
How did you find her? What was her interest in the Star Child?
Well, she just had followed the case for some time through the periodic updates that I would put out on the website, through the website, and she couldn't understand why nobody would come through with the money that we needed to get it done, and so she asked me a lot of questions, and we went back and forth and back and forth, and I just kept explaining to her, mm-hmm. you know, what the situation was, till eventually she said, well, I want to know, and I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, basically, and let's get to work and get it done. So that was in 2003, and so we were able to get the DNA testing done. Now, that was extremely interesting, the results of that, because what we expected at 900 years ago in a mine tunnel, we figured that if the skeletons had not been rained on, had not been exposed to the sun, had not been degraded in any way, probably the DNA would still be there and still be, even at 900 years, fresh enough at least to get the mitochondrial DNA and perhaps able to get the nuclear DNA. In if it was done by a lab that specializes in recovering ancient DNA. So we finally found one that could do this very highly specialized work. These were the guys that had worked on the Kennewick Man, for example, which I know everybody knows about. And so we took it to them, and they ran tests on both skulls. The human skull, its mitochondrial DNA, and its nuclear DNA pulled up beautifully and easily the first time. The Star Child's mitochondrial DNA, which comes from its mother, pulled up beautifully too, four times. But in those same four tests, the nuclear DNA never did come up. Now, what that tells you is one of two things, that somehow, some way, the nuclear DNA was degraded in some unusual way that allowed the mitochondrial DNA to come up, but not the nuclear DNA, or the primers that were sent in to search for the nuclear DNA, which are designed to search for human DNA, couldn't find what they were looking for, which would mean that the nuclear DNA is not human.
Oh, that's dramatic if they can really prove that.
Well, the thing to say it is one thing, but to prove it is another. In
right.
other words, what the geneticists have to say is that it has to be degradation, because they're not going to say, well, because we're not recovering nuclear DNA here, that means ipso facto that it's alien DNA. They can't do that. You know, they'd be laughingstocks, because there is that other alternative, which is degradation, although there's no sign of it in the human one, and there's no sign of it in the recovery of the mitochondrial DNA. So you and I can sit here, and everyone listening here can sit here and say, well, we're pretty sure it means that the primers couldn't recover human DNA because it's not in there. But scientifically, from a scientific standpoint, we have to do more to prove the case than that. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof, and we're caught in that crossfire of having to supply extraordinary proof, even though we have a very strong indication from that that's not human nuclear DNA in the Star Child skull.
Well, this fiber that was found in bone,
right?
Unlike anything that you would find in a human,
right? Exactly. What happened was after we did the DNA testing, what we were left with was only the possibility of doing intense biochemical testing on the bone to see if we could find, you know, break it down to the atom level and see what we could find out from that standpoint. So we started the process by looking with a scanning electron microscope to see just what you could see on the surface of the bone at high magnification. And what we found, and what people can see, by the way, on the website, www.starchild-uk, RC, I think, on your website, what you'll see is that inside the cancellous holes of the star child, and the cancellous holes, to understand how it works, in the bone of your skull, it's like kind of like a sandwich. You have a piece on the top that's solid, you have a piece on the bottom that's solid, but inside between there, sandwiched in between, or what's called cancellous holes, and that is where the marrow moves through that bone. And coming out of those cancellous holes, as you can see on the photos, are thread-like things or fiber-like things. And we don't know what they are. No one's ever seen them. Nobody yet who's looked at them has an idea of what they are. They're certainly not found in normal human bone. But more importantly, George, when the bone was cut, the guys cutting it who have cut an awful lot of bone said,
yeah, they know what
they're
doing.
Boy, this is hard to cut. This is really hard. So we think maybe those fibers might have something to do with the durability of the bone, because you'll notice the bone itself was cut with a Dremel blade and the bone was cut, and yet those fibers resisted being cut. They laid up against the bone and there they sit. So they're obviously very durable material, whatever they are.
That's interesting. You would think that the blade would have been able to just zap right through it.
If they would have cut through anything, you would think they would cut through little bitty fibers like that. I mean, these things are extremely small, and yet, if you look on the pictures, you see there they are, and there's plenty of them. There's not just one. There's plenty of them.
I mean, at this point, can you say anything definitively yet about the skull?
Well, what we can say is that it's certainly very, very, very unusual and unlike any human skull yet discovered. We can say that without fear of contradiction. Can we yet say that it is definitively and for sure proven to be alien? Not quite yet. We have to continue working on that. And that's part of what I'm doing, is letting people know that we've come, what I consider, way past the halfway point. But we're still not there. We need to do more work. We need to do more testing.